If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 11. I don't feel like I need to sing or feel like singing, that is. My wife and I work just about all day long out in the yard yesterday. And that's the reason that I'm grunting when I get up, I guess. I don't know. She loves to have things pretty around there, and I do too. But I think sometimes I could do without some of it. And I just appreciate her. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. God has been good to this old boy. I said, old boy. Okay. And I feel old this morning. But as I said so many times, I'm not getting old. I'm just getting closer home.
Amen.
And that's the way I try to look at it. I know that, you know, sometimes you get to feeling sorry for yourself if you don't watch out. And I do that every once in a while. And I think most everybody does, because we're still living in this old body. This body hadn't been changed yet, but we have. Our heart has, and our soul has. So I'm glad that God loves me and cares for me. And no one ever cared for me like Jesus. I've told you so many times that's the way it is, and I appreciate the opportunity of coming. And then here's this, you know, every Sunday morning. But I hate, the reason that I have to come is because, you know, trying to help Brother Donnie out. We need to continue to pray for him, do we not? But let me ask you a question this morning. Does anybody here have a mountain that they would like to be removed? God's word says in Mark, and in several other places, if we pray, you know, God can move that mountain for us. So I'm dependent on the Lord today. And like I said, he's been so good to me. I have to depend on him. I have to trust him. And I just love the Lord this morning, and I know you do too. So I want to preach to you a little while on Give Me This Mountain. You know, there's a whole lot of scriptures in God's Word about moving the mountain. So I want to give you a few of those too. But before I do that, I'm going to sing, then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to read Mark 11. Some verses in that. So remember that while I try to sing. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. And if you want to, you can sing along with me. We'll use it as a congregation song if you want to. Like we, you know, used that song we just sung a few minutes ago. And, you know, it's been so good to hear the word of God and singing. Singing, to me, gets me ready for the word of God. And I believe it does for every one of us. Let's just praise the Lord this morning that he's been good to us. And he's blessed us beyond what we deserve. And I realize that, but you know, I'm so thankful for his blessing. As the world looks upon me, as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes are not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Amen. That's what I was saying. He's been good to me. Amen. And I know every one of you would say the same thing if I asked you that question. And I think I will. Has God been good to you? Absolutely so. So in Mark chapter 11, if you will, I'm going to start at verse 20. Read down through verse 26, if you will. Now, the Bible says here in Mark chapter 11, verse 20, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus, the sweetest name that we know. And thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. We know, Lord, that you have done a lot for us. And in fact, Lord, we know that you've done more than we deserve. But we shall say thank you for it, Lord. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are our Father. You're our friend. You're our master. You're the one that loves us and cares for us. Lord, I pray today that you would just help us to preach the word of God and be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering. And Lord, I thank you again for everything you do for us. I pray, Lord, that you'll preach through us this morning the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As I ask you this morning, start now, did you have a mountain in your life that you'd love to see removed. Well, I'm sure that every one of us have a mountain in our life that we would like to see removed. And so as I think about that, I think that we all have our prayer life with the Lord. And surely, if we have a good prayer life with the Lord, we not only have a good prayer life with the Lord, but we also know that beyond a shadow of doubt, what we ask for, we shall receive. Have you ever believed that? Do you believe that now? Sure you do. I'm almost sure that every one of us here today believe that. And I think about this, and I think about giving us the mountain, and in our prayer life, we look at and think about someone that we want to talk about just for a few minutes, other than Jesus also. But there was a man named Caleb, and God told him that he could remove that mountain. And so as we think about it, I want to preach to you for a few minutes on this man, Caleb. He was a man who never ceased to grow in his spiritual life. He never did. He's always growing in his spiritual life. And you know why? It's because that God said that he wholly followed him. He wholly followed the Lord. Yes, he did. You see, back when there was Joshua, in Joshua, we find that in there, we find that Caleb followed the Lord wholly. And there are several other places in God's Word, in Numbers, the Bible says that he followed the Lord wholly. So what do we do in our Christian life other than pray and seek God's face? Bible says in 2 Chronicles, if you seek God's face and humble ourselves before God, then things would be different, wouldn't it? Well, see, we're living in a time when things are different. We were talking about a while ago of what things are happening, like that condo just going to the ground. We hear other things on news. We think about the news a lot of times, and we can find out things that probably may not be true in some cases, but most of the time they have checked it out, and they know that they're giving the news as way they feel like that they should give it. And we see that as we listen to the news, that things are not the same as they used to be. We're living in a day and a time when the Bible told us a long time ago, it was written in God's Word, when we see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And surely, we're living in the last days. I don't care what nobody says, we're living in the last days. And God's Word tells us that we are. He says, when you see them come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. So what are you supposed to believe? You're supposed to believe God's Word. Amen? We ought to read God's Word, study God's Word, and know beyond a shadow of doubt it's what we have to go by in the day and the time that we're living in. We ought to have been going by it all the time. We ought to have been studying all the time. Because it is God's Word, and that's all we can depend on this day and time. God's Word, because the Bible says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So who are we talking about when we talk about God's Word? We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about God the Father. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, all three in one, are we not? So you see, as we think about that this morning, we think about how that God chose Joshua to lead the children. He also chose when Joshua went out of the picture by death. He says, now in verse in Joshua chapter 14, verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain wherever the Lord spake in that day. For thou hearest that in that day were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Why did he do that? Because, I'll say again, the word of God said that Caleb lived for the Lord wholly. He did not cease to follow the Lord. And so we see that he was, as himself, never ceased to grow. He was consistent in his youth, wasn't he? How many people nowadays are consistent in their youth? Usually, our youth goes for the world, doesn't it? And many times, not only does our youth go for the world, there's a whole lot of older people go for the world, and how it is also. But Caleb here was consistent in his youth. Two qualities about him that I want to share with you this morning. First, he showed, without a doubt, courage. Most people don't show courage anymore. Moral courage is greater. And I can't see the words. I don't know what's going on with my glasses, but I do know that Caleb demonstrated both greater and rarer than physical courage when he demonstrated both in this crisis of Kadesh. You see, then he was a robust and unwavering faith that he had, a quality which ranks high in the divine scale of values. And that's the way Caleb was. Then he was a robust and unwavering faith, a quality which ranks high in value. But not only that, he was consistent in his youth. Not only was he consistent in his youth, he was unfrustrated in his midlife. You know, a whole lot of people today have a midlife crisis, don't they? Sure they do. You think about midlife crisis, you think about ladies, I know, but not only the ladies that do it, men do too. You see, many who soared like rockets in their youth have descended like sticks before the testings of middle life. These themselves, you see, Caleb satisfactorily passed the test of youth. Now, how does he do in his midlife? He was doing the test of middle life, and if he was soared with wings of an eagle in his youth, and now in his midlife, he's doing the same thing. What do you mean he's doing the same thing? He was still wholly following the Lord. And that's what we need to do today. We need to be triumphant in following the Lord. We need to be triumphant in old age. You see, Caleb provided with a glorious conception of the possibilities of old age, his supreme opportunity. He was physically vital. He says, my strength is now for war. There in Joshua 14, verse 11, he also said he was spiritually adventurous. Give me the mountain. There in 14, chapter 12. But now let's look about Caleb, where he said he did the age Caleb prevail. Why did the age Caleb prevail? And I keep saying this, he wholly followed the Lord. I'm telling you today, that's what we need to do in our three stages of life. In our youth, in our midlife, and also in our age life, we need to follow the Lord. That's why he prevailed in his life. Now, Caleb, open secret is for this us too, for all of us. There was his secret. He followed the Lord wholly. And that ought to be in our life. That ought to be our secret in our old age, so to speak. Older age. I ain't going to call y'all old. Or just in our older age. We ought to be just like Caleb. We ought to be seeking the Lord. We ought to be holy living for the Lord. And how do we live for the Lord? We live for the Lord and just by just putting him first in our life. The Bible says over there in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things should be added unto you. So you see, we ought to be happy in our older age also. Caleb was. He was doing what God wanted him to do. And I ask you this morning, are we doing what God wants us to do in our life? I feel like that we are, but it could be that we're not. God says he'd remove that mountain and throw it into the sea if we had something we wasn't doing for him. And the things were happening in our life that we didn't want to have in our life. All we have to do is ask the Lord, give us this mountain, and he'll give it to us. We're climbing a mountain all the time, it seems like, in our Christian life. And friends, we need, in our Christian life, to ask the Lord to remove that mountain that we might wholly follow him. And we need to follow him wholly in our Christian life that he might move that mountain for us. I might have been sharing some things that, and I didn't, you know, I was hesitating because I can't see good sometimes. These old glasses here, I don't know. I don't know what happens, but, and by the way, I'm going to have surgery in this eye. And I kept putting it off. But I'm going to have to, I guess. If God don't take me out before then, I'll have to. And that'll be in November. So, my friends, listen. We, as Christians, need to wholly follow the Lord. Amen? And I want you to remember that. If you don't remember nothing else I said this morning, wholly follow the Lord in your Christian life. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I ask you this morning, when I started, or before I started, do you have something that it might be a mountain in your life that you wanted removed? Well, you know, there's a lot of things that's in our life that we never used to have. There might be some people in our life that we'd like to see saved. And I'm sure we do. We have those. I don't know of anybody here that didn't have somebody in their heart they'd like to see saved. And you know something? God will save them. Don't give up on them. No. You're not getting up on, when you give up on somebody that's not saved and you've been praying for them, it's just the same thing as giving up on the Lord. But you don't want that, I know. You don't want to give up on the Lord. And He'll save them, for Christ's sake. He said He would. You know, the Bible tells us that it's not God's will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. I think about Romans 8:20. I think it's 8:28. But you know, let me look right quick. Romans 8:28. I think I had it. I'll be through in a second, yeah. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called, excuse me, according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to those things? If God be for us, who can be against us? But you know, that's one of my favorites. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God today? He said, to them who are the called according to His purpose.